Hello and welcome to Logos Education Podcast. In this episode, we're joined by Chen Rui, a second year English student at the University of Oxford. Chen Rui, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Joshua.
It's great to have you on. And today we're going to be talking about how you got into the University of Oxford, and hopefully students attempting to apply to Oxford would be able to learn from your experience. So to get started off, why are you studying English?
That's a really good question to start off with, and the first one I had to face as well as an applicant. I think my answer is perhaps threefold and also comes from three different sources. So the first answer is English. I chose English because I think studying English gives you not just ideas, but rather ideas to think with. As John Carey argues in his book, What Good Are the Arts? Literature, through its sheer multiplicity of ideas, gives us room and space to doubt ourselves, which I think is a very healthy thing to do. My second answer comes from the Yale Department of English, which I really love for their listing out of why you should study English. And one of the things they say is that it is a tool that never loses value. So that no matter what we go into, no matter what job we do, no matter what career path we follow, we're always going to need to write and to communicate clearly and express ourselves. So there's that. And then very, very finally, it's just the simple reason of the pleasure of reading.
You talked a bit about career options and how it could open up a lot of doors. I guess coming from a Hong Kong society, people often say you always have to think about what you're doing after uni as well. What are some of those career options that a person studying university might be able to go and tell their parents, yeah, I could do these jobs afterwards? What are some of those opportunities?
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of people ask me if I want to be an English teacher. And I think being an English teacher is an incredibly admirable and respectful thing to do. I just don't want to deal with kids. So for me, I actually think someone who studies English can really go to do anything they want, provided it is, you can even go do quantitative analysis. You're just going to have to work a bit harder at the mathematical side. But for instance, you could go into law, you could find ways to break into finance by studying like investment qualification. But I really do think that if there is something you want to do, a degree is not going to hold you back.
Definitely. Perhaps we could take a step back, and you said you have a pleasure for reading. How did you discover that pleasure for reading? Did you read as a kid a lot, or was there some certain moment where you're given a certain book which got you into it? What was that story like?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think I have to thank my parents because as a kid, we didn't watch a lot of TV. So reading was kind of one of my sole forms of entertainment. And I think there are quite a few books that kind of defined my childhood. One of them was, I don't know if you ever had this, Joshua, but they were like the Orchard editions of Shakespeare. And they were small and they were like these little books, and they were Shakespeare stories but just written for kids. And I remember reading these and thinking, oh, this is what everyone says when they mean Shakespeare. Oh, he's so fun. But I thought that I actually think they're a brilliant introduction to Shakespeare because they really bring out how fun he is, and it's not just old language and it's not just all this fancy metaphor and simile, but it's just a really fun story. And I think another book that defined my childhood is probably Le Petit Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, which I believe is the second most translated book in the world. But I remember reading that and reading about the little prince's adventures to all these different planets and thinking this is so beautifully written because it says a lot, but it says a lot very simply.
Mm. That's something which is very beautiful. All the best books seem to be able to put lots of ideas in a very short and a very simple fashion. Perhaps moving on to the Oxford education, I guess you talked about Shakespeare a bit. And what made studying at Oxford stand out to you?
To me, I think it has to be the tutorial system. I think we are so lucky to have the tutorial system, and I think it makes a lot of difference. For instance, it's the idea, I think this coupled with the fact that I truly believe English is one of the most liberating curriculas out there, because there are in essence not really any set text. You get a lot of choice over what you do, which is why in exam papers, each exam paper is like 20 to 21 or two questions, when you only have to answer three questions and write three essays, because everyone has been studying very different things. But the freedom coupled with the close contact and 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 feedback that you get about your essay every week, I think builds a very rigorous form of critical thinking, which is invaluable for pretty much anything.
Perhaps delving into, you said you had a lot of choices about what you're reading. What are some of the fields or some of the books or, I don't know, topics that you're currently working with?
Oh, you see, if you had asked me this in my first year when I was studying the Victorian period, I would be able to give a much more fun answer, because there was a time when my tutor just said to me, every week, well, every other week, because we have two tutors, he would just say, oh, go off and choose a Victorian text and write about it. So during one term, I was doing like The Origin of Species, coupled with John Mills on Liberty, coupled with like some more political treatises and looking at the economy as well. So I think it was really fun to see how the freedom of the syllabus allows you to do things that aren't even traditionally English literature, but kind of stray into a lot of other disciplines as well. Here's a fun one. So recently we are currently looking at 18th century, and with the 18th century came the microscope. So one of the fun things we are looking at now is the images produced by the microscope. Of, I think the famous one is of like a maggot just magnified, a flea magnified. But it's very interesting to see how these scientific breakthroughs, especially of the microscope and its ability to zoom in, how that is reflected in literature and the way we write, and sometimes our need to zoom in and our struggle to zoom out.
That seems like a very fascinating choice of text. I mean, I'll never have thought that you're going to be studying or looking at a magnified flea as part of your English curriculum, that's for sure. It's a very strange one. What perhaps has stood out most to you, I guess, from an aspect of research at the University of Oxford? Any particular paper perhaps on Shakespeare or Milton or whatever it is, I guess, the big names? Have you come across that as well, or is that not really part of the English course?
Oh, you see, this is interesting, because I would say less so specific papers, but more so the fact that most of the people that you will go to hear lectures from will have written books about the subject that they are, potentially about the subject they're lecturing. But for instance, just one of my favorite critics has to be Emma Smith, who is, I believe, teaching at Hartford. And she's a Shakespeare critic, and she wrote like a little Pelican book called This is Shakespeare. And she kind of looks at each play, and she doesn't try to do a comprehensive thing. She just tries to look at one thing that is very interesting in each of the plays. For instance, like in Twelfth Night, how that is very, bi-curious is the wrong word, but it definitely explores all kinds of sexualities. So I think it's a very fun book and a very fun insight into Shakespeare in a less in a less kind of stiff and formal way that I think is worth bringing forward.
That sounds like a really fascinating thing to work through. I haven't touched any of the, I think, gender and sexuality paper in philosophy and theology yet, but that might be something I flag up on the line. Yes, of course. Perhaps moving a bit more to applying to Oxford as a whole, a lot of people like talking about extracurricular, especially academic extracurricular activities in high school. Did you interact with any academic societies for English or anything which people might be able to take part in?
Well, I think here is where my view is perhaps a little bit different from the conventional view. You see, I know that usually they tell you it's the 80-20 rule, where 80% of it is academic and 20% of it is extracurricular, even the extracurricular being like academic extracurricular. But I remember quite distinctly in my personal statement, the only thing that was extracurricular is I put at the very end, I like to walk my dog. And I think that it's great to have extracurricular, but at the same time, Oxford or Cambridge even, or any really good university, is not taking you because you are a great dog walker or because you are an insane chess player, unless you are studying maths, in which case they may very well take you because you're an insane chess player. But ultimately, I do think the bulk, if not all of it, being academic is entirely okay.
So perhaps what would you say are some of the academic activities that you've done? Is that, I guess, for English, is it like reading certain ar academic articles or interacting with certain critics? What are the type of academic works that someone could put in their personal statement?
So for English, it's interesting because it's one of those things where it's out of all the subjects, it's perhaps the one where practical experience is the least needed. And I mean that in the sense of you can literally just talk about, say, five books you have read, kind of one inspiring the other, maybe bring in a critic or two to inspire your interpretation of things. And that is okay. You don't need to have gone out and done anything amazing or made any miracles happen. You just have to have had read a few books and thought deeply about them. And more importantly, kind of thought deeply about some of the underlying issues of literature. Like, for instance, what is the relationship between the text and the author? What does it mean to be writing about race in the 21st century? But I think it's useful to, on the one hand, be very confident in the text that you have written about and have a very, very assured grasp of like the textuality of it, so you're able to quote it and things. And on the other hand, being able to have a grasp on the underlying metatextual concepts, like the relationship between author and reader and author and text.
So we've talked a bit about the personal statement, and I'm sure that some people have clicked onto this video to learn about how can I write a good English personal statement. From Chenroy Jang herself, what would you say are the top tips that go into a good personal statement for English?
Oh gosh. Top tips for English. I'd say number one is probably don't try to cover too much. I'd say it is a lot more helpful if you just have a few texts that you delve really deeply into than it is to have like, eight books that you kind of just skim over. I think as well, the second, so the first one would be few plus depth rather than many plus shallowness. I think the second tip I might have is to seriously consider why you're doing this. So for me, a source of inspiration was John Carey's What Good Are the Arts? Why should we study English and the arts at a time when there is such a strong push towards more STEM subjects. So I think we need to be very clear about what is your reason for studying English rather than any other subject. And then lastly, it's perhaps a little bit counterintuitive, but just to have faith in yourself. Like no matter what happens, you'll be okay. You will do great and you will do great things. Like the university is not, universities, I think, are great stepping stones, but they're certainly not the be all and the end all. And if there's anything I've learned whilst being here, it's that being at what a university like Oxford can give you is that a lot of people think that it opens doors for you. And I've been here, I've kind of realized no, it doesn't open doors for you. It merely shows you that some doors that perhaps you didn't even realize were there are there. So once again, I think it's less about the university you go to and it's more about who you are as a person and what you are going to do for you. So last point just being, have faith, you're going to be okay.
You sound very much like a prophet. Universities don't open doors for you. They show you the doors. That's like the quote of the day from Chenroy.
Wow,
There's
you
something so
flatter me.
profound there. So perhaps moving on from the personal statement, a lot of people also turn to the interview. And I guess the idea of having faith in yourself going into that interview is a very important thing as well. But what would be some other tips and tricks that someone who might be approaching or got an invitation to an interview, what might they want to hear?
Oh, so the first thing is if you've got an invite to interview, well done you. That's brilliant. Second thing, don't panic. Don't panic. Make sure you do the little things right, which is like get a good sleep the night before. If it's in the morning, get up, have a nice breakfast. Relax, don't try to cram in anything because that's going to make you nervous, and you being nervous is not going to be is going to lead you to be like stumbling and not knowing what to say and maybe saying too much or maybe saying too little. So it's just breath, calm down, do the little basic steps right. And as for the lead up to the interview, I would say just grab an English teacher. Or even an English, a friend who also studies English, get your text, the main text that you've gone through in your personal statement, and just first of all, try to memorize some significant quotes that you can just pull up and cite. Because I think it's one thing talking about a text, it's a lot more impressive if you can cite directly from it. And the other thing would be just practice talking about the text, practice bringing out the wonder of the text. Practice being excited about a text. I think interviews can be very stiff occasions that we forget to smile and we forget to show that this is actually a text that we really love, which is why we've read about it and why we are talking about it. So yeah, those would be my tips.
And now, finally, are there any subject tests that you have to do for English? Because I remember I had to do the philosophy test for philosophy and theology. Is there an equivalent to apply for English? And if so, how do you do well in it?
Yeah, the ELAT, so the English Language Admissions Test, which, my gosh, it's been a while. I think you get a certain number of extracts, and you get a theme, and you basically have to close analyze two of the extracts, depending on the theme. Is it one or two of the? I think it was two of the extracts. So it's like a comparative situation. It used to be you could do three as well, but that was a bit ridiculous given the time. And as for doing how to do well in that, almost once again, it's the counterintuitive idea of not trying to do too much. Or not feeling the pressure of I need to do incredibly well, I need to have amazing ideas. it's a 90-minute closed book exam. They are not expecting you to come up with the next big literary theory. They're not expecting you to come up with a well-researched, super detailed close analysis. They're just expecting you to be like, well, this is the theme. And this is kind of what writer A does about the theme. And this is kind of what writer B does about the theme. So it's slowing down, taking your time, and kind of being able to look at the text maybe one line at a time, in some cases a word at a time, but not feeling pressured to write down everything, but present things in a more structured, zoomed in way.
Mm. That sounds like a wonderful piece of advice. Well, thank you very much for watching this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you enjoyed this episode and want to watch more interviews with different students about how to get into top universities, make sure to like and subscribe and check out our YouTube channel for other episodes there. Stay safe. See you soon. Thank you for watching and goodbye.